to the Nutramedic Report, and we have Ann Morrison here. Just want to finish off an issue that we talked with Matt. And Matt, I'd like you to put your thesis forward first, and then when you're finished, I'm going to make a response to it, because it's really important that people understand this. Because the issue, by the way, that's going to come up in the debate, the primary issue, isn't going to be even about the emails or whether or not Trump is going to counterpunch and not treat, quote, a woman candidate in the proper manner. It's how they approach this issue of violence in our inner cities across America. That's going to be a center point issue. And it deals with genetic issues, social issues, etc., and policing issues. And if we don't have a comprehensive plan, we're going to blow it. And by the way, well, both Democrat and Republicans...
We saw that the victim, the suspect that was shot in Tulsa, was apparently on PCP. According to the police, he had PCP in his car, and he was showing the signs of being on PCP. The other suspect was reportedly wielding a gun, although his family claimed he had a book. We haven't seen the video yet. And
well, the video doesn't show it clearly, and even the police chief said that. So, continue.
So, whatever the case, we don't know what happened there.
So, what's your thesis, Matt? We talked about this in hour one.
In both cases.
Yeah.
I do think, at least in Tulsa, I haven't seen the video of the one in Charlotte, but in Tulsa, I do think it was irresponsible and impulsive to shoot the suspect who was unarmed.
Well, I can tell you,
foolish decision, and she should pay for it as a way of demonstrating you can't get away with this kind of irresponsibility.
Okay, well,
it was the same kind of cowardice as we saw with Ray Tensing when he blew off Sam DuBose's head for stepping on the gas while drunk. Now,
Yes,
the guy was obviously intoxicated, but
he didn't deserve to die, is what you're saying, yeah. Just like the PCP guy didn't.
The main point here is I think that every time, people have to think about the real consequence of their actions. I'm a utilitarian. I'm not somebody who thinks that something is right or wrong just because something makes you feel good. I think something is right or wrong because it has good consequences or bad consequences.
I agree.
In the case of what these two officers did, the consequence is a general diminishment of the respect for the law, a general contempt for police and law and order in general, and also that the suspects are not brought to justice until they're turned into martyrs and victims rather than being treated as what they possibly are.
Okay, I'll let you stop there for a minute, Matt, and I'll give you a response. First off, as a doctor who's worked in emergency departments and trauma areas with the criminally insane, I can tell you, here's the response I take. The guy with PCP didn't need to die, and the guy that put on the gas didn't need to die. If the police officers had three things, number one, they had proper training, proper equipment, and proper backup, which includes social backup to the interface with the community militia, neither of these people would have died. Number two, they would have interfaced with the fact that there's drugs involved here and that there's mental illness. Now, if they'd used non-lethal weapon systems, which we have little things, for example, for the United Nations where you can hit with a dazzle weapon, it'll make you blind for 30 minutes. We have things, a little ball will hit you and knock you down to the ground. We have beanbag weapons. The police should be using non-lethal interface weapons before they go to lethal force, number one. Number two, they should have proper equipment so they have body armor on and vehicles that can't be pierced by high-velocity weapon, which the other side has. And number three, they need to interface with the community. If those things are done, that would make a big difference in terms of interfacing adequately with druggies and psychiatric cases so they don't kill them. And I agree go ahead, your response.
Now, the other big problem here is that there is a genuine discrimination against all blacks because of the bad behavior of a minority. And as it turns out, in the past 5 years, we've discovered the cause of the behavior of that minority of blacks is largely a gene in black males, which causes aggressive behavior, or at least is strongly
That's the monoamine oxidase 2 gene.
Now, aggressive behavior is defined as having been convicted of a violent offense, as well as behaviors that can be observed, such as quickness to offense and lability of mood. But the way they measure it is they just look at how many violent offenses the person has committed. They took, for example, in a study in New Zealand, they took, 2,000 youth and compared those who had even the three repeat version of the monoamine oxidase gene, which is the most common kind of the aggression allele, to those who didn't have it, and those who were maltreated and had the gene were significantly more likely to commit violent offenses that had violent criminal records than those who had not.
Right.
I think it was like 80% more.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you. And this is important because if you have a genetic substrate, and remember now, genes are not deterministic. They're permissive.
Yes.
So please continue.
And those who have the 2 repeat allele are much yet more prone to aggressive behavior. There's not a lot of research being done into this, I guess, because of its political incorrectness. But from what
evidence
there is so far, it appears that those who have the 2 repeat allele are almost determined at a very high rate to be violent offenders.
Wow.
Now, so this suggests that, the thing is that this 2 repeat allele is very rare in whites. It's like 0.5% or less than that of whites. Whereas in blacks, it is between 5 and 15% of the population.
Whoa.
And it is active mostly only in males because females have 2 copies. Which right there explains why it is that 13%
right.
of the population, 6% of the population, black males, are responsible for nearly 50% of the homicides. Most of which are other black males, by the way. So it's not that they're...
Right, it's black-on-black crime is what happens, yeah. So
now, then killing other blacks. Like, for example, Tyshawn Lee last November, a 9-year-old boy, was murdered in revenge for his father being involved in a different gang or something like that.
I got a question for you, Matt. You made a very good thesis here, and I agree with you totally. But I understand, and this is something that needs more research, but as I say, if someone gives me a case, let's say a person is a violent offender, and I am able to put my full force of investigations, I can do a SPECT blood flow scan, a quantitative EEG, a PET scan, a spiral thin section MRI scan that actually looks for specific myelin patterns, etc. I can look at organic acids, metabolites in their platelets, etc. Look at heavy metals in their hair, pack red cells, a bioplasm. Let me finish, okay? A bioplasm investigation, a QRMA. I could tell you precisely why this person screwed up. And remember now, genes, even though they're predominant, because we, in general, have a really crappy diet in North America. They did a study at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 1948 and in 1993, and they checked the concentration of minerals in winter wheat. Okay, this is just winter wheat. And they found that the levels of most minerals had dropped dramatically. In fact, between that time, it dropped so that 93% of the soils in America have virtually no selenium, chromium, vanadium, and trace elements like manganese. Now, if you have a genetic defect in the SNP that requires a specific mineral or nutrient, and you are already eating a crappy diet, and you're then violently treated by your peers, and your home doesn't have a father to have a father figure, and you've got genetic things, you add the bad genes with a bad diet and bad social environment, now you've got an explosive situation. It's my feeling that you need a comprehensive approach toward all these issues. You can't just say, well, if you've got a gene, then, of course, you're talking about, like, Nazi eugenics.
Well, I'm not saying that if you have a gene, you're going to be aggressive, but the likelihood of...
If you're eating our diet, you are.
Much higher.
If you're much higher.
Well, there might be dietary influences, but the main influence here is just having this gene, which causes you to have...
We don't know yet. Here, what we do know is... Okay,
DNA.
Let me ask you a question, okay? When I went to medical school in 1970... Let me finish. Let me explain this, okay, first.
What this actually does, though. I want to explain what this actually does.
Wait, what the monoamine gene does, okay.
When you have a short version of this gene, as 5 to 15% of black males do, the result is that you produce very low levels of monoamine oxidase A, which breaks down neurochemicals like serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine, all of which are involved in a fight-or-flight sympathetic nervous response.
Oh, yeah,
gene,
okay.
When you get aroused, your arousal does not resolve. When you get upset, the upset just gets worse and worse, and you can't control it.
You have sympathetic dominance, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's often, I think, why these young men ruin their lives by committing a violent act, just because they have this genetic predisposition toward not being able to control their emotions and getting out of control.
Okay.
Which I think could be resolved simply by identifying the gene early on and having them just take a pill.
No, that's not going to work. Let me explain why a pill won't work. If you've got a complex...
Let me explain why it would work. Here's why it would work, is because we know it's just a single chemical, which you therefore just have to elevate the levels of to a normal level. Just as when a person is depressed, you decrease the level of monoamine.
The ideal therapy would be a gene... Matt, the ideal therapy would be a genetic therapy that would cross the blood-brain barrier. rather than a pharmacological.
But the genetic therapies don't exist right now. So given the crisis right now in black communities of violence and men ruining your lives and thwarting your own talents through out-of-control outbursts of emotion, I think we need to have some kind of national Manhattan Project to address the issue of aggression influenced by genetics. The genetics of aggression should be our Manhattan Project.
Well, you know what I want to do? I want to ask Ann what she thinks of this issue. What do you think, Ann? Because it's a thorny issue. We have Hillary Clinton, in a sense, coming on the side of the police, saying the police are promulgating violence. On the other hand, the police are afraid to go into the community, so the black good citizens are left where their businesses get attacked, people get attacked, the kids get forced into gangs to survive this environment when they don't carry these genes. Generally, the diet of poor people is pretty bad. So if you have a genetic predisposition, you're going to be much more likely to express it rather than suppress these abnormal genetic traits. What do you think, Ann?
Well, I think the basis is that the hypothesis is wrong. People think that brains is brains. Brains isn't brains. Every ethnic group has a different brain
chemistry
arrangement.
Right.
For instance, they based right brain, left brain on European males, and then they discovered that there were females in the group that they hadn't tested, and they discovered that they had a different brain arrangement than the males did.
Right. In fact, females use both sides of their brain. In fact, that's why they can multitask more accurately than males, because they're not so dominant to one side or the other.
We're not talking about brain structure here. We're talking about a simple neurochemical, monoamine oxidase A, which breaks down simple neurochemicals which are present in every vertebrate. So, and have similar effects as well. So we're not talking about brain structure. We're talking about something which has similar effects in almost every known mammalian species, if not every single one. So the chances of there being a racial difference in how, I mean, there are probably racial differences in how aggressive you are as a consequence of this due to other factors, such as, for example, testosterone levels. You look at Asians, for example. East Asians have a high rate of the three repeat aggression allele, but they have low rate of violent crime, possibly because they have an average lower level of testosterone. But that's just a hypothesis there. We don't know why it is there's less aggression. I think a significant factor is also culture. And this is what I wanted to get to next, is that I think that the reason why Islam is spreading so fast in Africa in particular, as well as much of the rest of the so-called third world, is because people with this aggression gene in one form or the other feel that they have inner demons that they're in battle with, and they want something to control those demons. Islam provides that control by taking away the temptations, which they feel they have no control over.
Okay, Matt, let me get a response from Ann now.
They can't control themselves.
Okay, Matt, let me get a response from Ann.
When they are exposed to drugs, they can't control themselves.
Right, let me get a response from Ann, Matt.
Our culture.
Let me get a response from Ann. What do you think of that thesis? Because I'm very much the idea that genes are permissive, not deterministic. And the problem is the interaction I deal with every day with advanced technology, and I realize whether it's cancer or heart disease, your genes aren't going to necessarily make you get blocked arteries or turn diabetic. Although even if you have a predisposition, it's your diet, your lifestyle, and the nutrient content in your program that's going to determine what's happening, including the aging process. I'm very concerned that we don't address all the comprehensive issues, and I really believe this will be the central issue of the debate on Monday, that how we approach the stabilization of these inner cities that have very poor nutrition, extremely poor parenting, really toxic environments in many cases because of lead poisoning that's still in a lot of the inner city communities. And we're not approaching it correctly from a comprehensive point of view of training the police force and giving them non-lethal weapons. On the other hand, finding the genetics of each individual. For example, if they were to take 12 young black males that are violent and send them all their data to me, I can tell you without any doubt whatsoever, I could come up with a thesis without a Manhattan Project that would tell you precisely why their amygdala and the rage control nucleus of the reptilian brain is overfiring. I can tell you exactly with deep brain imaging and others. So when people say you can't find it out, that's not true. So when we come back, I want to hear Ann's response, because this is a central issue. And when we talk about bioterrorism and security, it's important. So, Anne, I'll hear your analysis when we come back.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Going to make a brief statement. I think it's important to have a vigorous dialogue. We just try not to interrupt each other so you can understand what we're saying. Matt, you have a final statement before we continue with Anne and talk about all the issues of our science blog.
I think it's important to realize that the characterization of some of the leaders over there, such as Putin, as being bullies by our liberal ideologues over here, is mistaken, because their hardline approach to government may be the only line of defense against the spread of Islam in countries with a high rate of the aggression allele. The Philippines, for example, has a massive drug epidemic, and they're trying to take control of it, but what is the UN doing but accusing them of human rights abuses? Well, yeah, in the southern Philippines, they've got the solution. If the government in the north can't maintain control, there's already a system of social control in the south called Islam, which takes away all drugs and all temptations, and therefore restores law and order. You see, you've got a choice between what Putin is doing and what other leaders around the world are doing, and Islam. You have a choice. Unless you bring in something like this Manhattan Project to address the aggression gene, then we are going to become ever more Islamic as a planet.
Yeah, I think your thesis is correct.
Perhaps,
and of course, what's happening is there's
genetic components.
You're right. There's a biodegradation of human biology. When I went to medical school, we had a grand rounds back in 1974. That's a few years ago now, 42 years. And in that ground rounds, they found one person over 4,600 got autism. And they thought it was really, they had all these experts in, including from Harvard and elsewhere, rounding over this kid that actually was diagnosed with autism. We thought it was so amazing. And now in some cities or villages in America, it's 1 in 28. The average is 1 in 63, I think, is now an autistic kid. I've talked to teachers where their entire class is sequestered by a special ed teacher where the entire class has got ADD, ADHD, and autism or autism spectrum disorder. So when we see increases in violent behavior, it's epigenetics on top of genetics. It's bad diet. It's bad environment. For example, we now know that even memory traces are wiped out by Wi-Fi networks of cell phone towers. So when you add all this garbage together, it's a really bad situation. You're right.
Yeah, a significant factor here is that if you have the aggression gene, you have much more of a sense of being in a battle with inner demons. And those demons are controlled by such things as Islam, which why
that's an interesting
why it's
so thesis.
Popular.
That's interesting
that's,
thesis,
despite its violence, and here's the thing, the cultures that are not Islamic that manage to control this gene, such as Japan, for example, are exceptions to the rule. Throughout the world, particularly thanks to European colonialism and our spread of liberal democracy around the world, we've created chaos. Look at Libya. We created chaos all around the world, either intentionally as a way of fomenting problems for our enemies like Russia, or out of idealism, we have disabled the social controls and traditional cultures of all these societies, leading to an acceleration of the spread of Islam.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thesis. You should write that up as an article, Matt, but now we want to get over to our science blog. You know what we'll do? Why don't we do a video on this where we won't be restricted in time, and we can put pictures up, and if you have your little article or paragraphs, put that together with some references, and we'll put a video together,
yes,
okay?
There's a culture vacuum, not just a power vacuum, but a culture vacuum.
I think you're correct. I think your thesis is correct, although we need to expand the other arms of the solution.
So we have to think about it. Are we going to bring in more immigrants? Are we going to spread this gene and its associated culture into Europe?
That's a very interesting thesis.
It's a problem fundamentally genetic and not necessarily even ideological.
Well, that's a factor. When you add genetic and epigenetic, I call it, then you really have a time bomb. Okay, and do you have a response to that? Because that's an interesting thesis, isn't it?
Well, I think the one thing that comes to mind is that although there are violent people that come out of the ghettos, there are also very prominent business people who come out of the ghettos. And you just wonder, well, how did they manage to do that with everything against them?
Well, I can guarantee you that like all of a sudden you'll get a combination of genes where you have some mulatto kid has an IQ of 260 and they become like an Einstein. I'll guarantee you if I did brain studies, organic acids, and genetics, I'd find out that the playing of the cards gave them a really good hand. How's that?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's Colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with Colostrum LD. How about some fat burners or maybe some joint aid or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We had a vigorous discussion here. Now, don't be disturbed by the fact that we interrupt each other. We're trying to see if we can be less interruptive, but you need to understand it's a very vigorous discussion. I imagine the debate on Monday where Hillary's going to try to to paint Trump as being an incompetent, not of the right temperament to deal with this issue. The real issue is Hillary's not of the right temperament. When she's blaming police, which makes police pull back so they won't police areas, when they don't provide the extra money the federal government or state government to make sure police have training, non-lethal weapons, and ways of interacting with the public so they actually have a, let's say, a community militia that works directly with the police, when they don't screen the genetics or nutrition of kids that are eating crappy diets or getting stacked vaccines, I know of the scientists that have actually reviewed the data that if you're a black kid and you get stacked vaccines with heavy metal adjuvants like mercury, the chances of you getting BOF, which, by the way, I can prove, not just conjecture, on an individual person, if they're showing metabolites in their from their brain proteins, etc., I can prove they've got BOF caused by stacked vaccines. So this idea that it's an independent thing or that it's just deterministic genes or it's just policing, no. Hillary Clinton is inflaming it because she thinks she's going to get more black votes, but it's actually harming the black community. What Trump is saying, we need to have better frisking, but we need to go way beyond that. What Matthew is saying in his thesis, I totally agree, but we need to look at the epigenetics. You can't be stacking vaccines on kids or eating garbage food. You can't have mineral deficiencies where they have a gene snip. If they have a mineral or a vitamin deficiency or a blockade, they can't degrade bioamines. And the rage control reptilian brains could be overactive. So my point is, this ties in with a lot of other behaviors, too. Why does the government try to do this? Because they're masters of chaos. They don't want to fix the problem. I could lay out a plan, the very systematic plan with what tests needed to be done on every black or Hispanic community where there's high violence, where we can screen for the people and give them proper care. Don't criminalize it. Turn it into a care issue, a nutrition issue, a parenting issue, a genetic issue. And the same thing goes with biosecurity. We don't have a Department of Defense, whether it's biosecurity or military or even our EMP, protection of our power grid. We've got nothing. We've got a Department of Offense. And when we go systematically through this, whether we're talking about biosecurity of flaviviruses, radiation from nuclear reactors that are post-geriatric, the terrorism threat where there's not proper extreme vetting, where we have climate shift. For example, we talked about the ozone hole issue. I have a very simple solution I'll mention later to the ozone hole issue over Greenland. It is not a minor thing. These things are really major, and they're going to cause cataclysmic world effects that we technically have to respond to. So, Ann, let's continue. Let's pick out your top issue you want to talk about today, because we're going to talk about it in our videos a lot more, but we're cut short in our audio talk this hour. But I think it's a central issue. It's going to come up in the debate on Monday. It'll be the issue that's going to decide who's going to be president, I think, is how do they deal with the inner cities.
I want to talk about poisoning that's been going on in the U.S. for the U.S. population.
Poisoning?
And it's as a result of poisoning that has been going on, that has been instigated by the FDA. That's the Food and Drug Administration.
I call them the Fatal Drugs Allowed people.
Yeah. Well, they decided long ago, they were very reluctant to look at food for glyphosate, and they declined to test for it in the foods, and then it was only in February of this year, so that is what, eight months ago.
Wow.
It said that it would start some limited testing for glyphosate residues, and what happened was that they found it in honey, and they're just now publishing that report. And they have also found glyphosate in mostly cereal products, flour, cereal, oatmeal, those kinds of things.
Right, which is why if you eat pasta, say, from Italy, you don't get your bowel blown up like a balloon, and you don't have as with people either depressed or violent. Because, by the way, these things cause antibodies and cytokines that cross the blood-brain barrier and change behavior, including sedation or extreme agitation. And if you got a genetic disorder like this monoamine oxidase 2-repeater gene, you're going to get screwed up and violent. And we see it in classrooms where the teachers will tell you, I can't let the kid have this or that cereal or whatever, or they know they're going to go nuts. So this is important stuff. Glyphosate, I consider one of the most dangerous things that's in our food supply now, and it's caused by Mount Satan, who's now being taken over by Bayer Pharmaceuticals.
And what they found, you know, in my mind, what I thought was happening was that because they did genetically modification on the seeds, for instance, for herbicides,
right,
so that they could spray their crops with herbicides up to 41% glyphosate.
Right.
glyphosate, I thought that it was due to the genetic modification that they made in the seed, and therefore was being passed on through the food chain to humans.
Mm-hmm.
But what they have decided is that it is it's not that. So what is it? Well, what it is that the farmers, the food industry, have rules about when they can spray glyphosate to kill the weeds in their crops. But apparently they're bending the rules. Let's say that you have a wheat field, and as long as the wheat isn't forming, the wheat kernels aren't forming, then it's okay to spread the glyphosate.
Right.
But because it's a commercial application, it's not the same mixture that we find in our feed and seed stores that we might use in our backyard to get rid of knotweed or something else. Instead, it's commercial glyphosate-based formulations. They might contain 41% or more glyphosate, but they also consist of a surfactant. Now, a surfactant is something that makes the mixture adhere to the surface of the plant.
Right.
And that, yes.
It makes it dissolve and stick in. So, in other words, it sticks to the actual plant and persists, is what you're saying.
And it persists sticking to the plant. And it doesn't wash off with the rain.
Uh-oh.
And also there are other minor components, including anti-foaming and color agents, biocide. Now, biocide is something that kills living organisms, including humans, and inorganic ions to produce pH adjustment. So these glyphosate formulations, these commercial ones, the toxicity of them is very complicated. Not only is the glyphosate used as five different salts, but commercial formulations contain different surfactants, which vary in nature and concentration.
Right.
As a result, human poisoning with this herbicide that they call Roundup is not the active ingredient alone, and it's difficult to separate the toxicity of glyphosate from that of the contribution of the surfactants to overall illness and death. Now, in fact, they think that the surfactant probably has a greater toxicity than glyphosate alone. Now, if the farming industry did what they said that they would do, and that is they will only spray these herbicides before the wheat buds, before we get the wheat kernels, then they wouldn't have any trouble. I mean, the leaves would contain the glyphosate, but if they spray it after the kernels are exposed, then what happens is that the glyphosate, because of the surfactant, stays on the grain. And it stays on the grain throughout the washing, throughout the harvesting, throughout the washing, throughout the processing into flour.
Wow.
And so they're fine. Yes. Yeah, so this is different than having a modified seed kernel, a GMO, get into the human body. We knew that was happening.
Yeah, and it might be a stable, unstable plasmid. The primary mechanism we see in bees is the unstable plasmid for, say, Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT toxin, which is neurotoxic, has to get into the gut bacteria to create excess BT, which can be 4,000 times higher than it gets in the bee's gut. I call Beeheimer's disease. But what you're saying is glyphosate attaches to body proteins and makes them millions of times more immunogenic and can cause epigenetic effects as well. And it's this persistent glyphosate caused by surfactant that literally is poisoning people, is what you're saying.
Yes, one of the foods that they started testing was honey, and they found glyphosate in honey. Well, why would you find glyphosate in honey? I mean, glyphosate is a herbicide. It's not an insecticide.
Right.
So what's happening is that the honeybees are going around doing their fertilizing business and collecting the pollen in order to make the honey.
Right.
And in the process, they're picking up the glyphosate that is on the plants, and apparently on the blooming plants, for instance, wheat blooms and then it forms a seed. So So that means that the farming industry is probably spraying this glyphosate after the wheat blooms.
Wow.
Well, they're not supposed to do that. They got rules, and they're not supposed to do that. But in any case, we do find it in what they did was that they found glyphosate. Some of the honey tested by the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, had glyphosate residues of 107 parts per billion, well more than the 50 parts per billion set as the maximum allowed in the European Union. So not only more, it's twice as much as... Now, we don't have any limits here in the United States for glyphosate in foods.
Wow.
Which means that any glyphosate in foods is illegal. Okay? It's illegal.
Wow, because
there's no standard.
Right.
And they think that it also is getting into the soybean samples. And so they think there's a violation of glyphosate residue levels in the United States crops. Now, this is out of Monsanto Roundup herbicide, and it's the most widely used herbicide in the world. And I'm not saying that the Roundup that you find on your store shelf when you go to the big box stores has the same problem, because they don't have the surfactant.
Wow.
You understand? It's
in other words, it suppresses the pests, but then it's gone because it washes away.
Well, yes, and it's at a much less concentration. The farming industry can use 41% or more glyphosate in their herbicide, but the one that's on the store shelf maybe has 1%. Now, I have used glyphosate, but I've been very careful with it. I had nutweed, and nutweed is a very aggressive weed that is that you have to get rid of, because otherwise the county and the state get really unhappy with you. It's an aggressive weed. Now,
you listed to 7 things that glyphosate does, and this list, do you want to go over it? Because I'm looking at it right now and think, oh, my gosh, there's things here that I was aware of, but other things that need to be expanded upon.
Yeah, endocrine, that's a hormone disruptor. So that means it's like taking a steroid. You know how that disrupts? If you're a female, you bulk up. I don't know what, I guess if you're a male, you bulk up even more.
Right.
It makes you fat. It causes birth defects and tumors. Now there are some metals in the body that you need, but it removes the metals from the body.
You're talking about zinc and copper. That reduce that stimulates superoxide dismutase 1 and 2 isoenzymes, so it can pull those out of your body, which are not good.
Yes, and yet you need those, and so what happens is, for instance, I've got a heavy metal poison in my body, which is probably the mercury in my teeth, and you can see that in the eyebrows of people. What happens is that the eyebrows become very thin towards the edge of the face,
right?
And I've got that. Okay, it's an antibiotic, and what it does is that, in your gut, in your intestines, you have beneficial bacteria. Well, it kills those beneficial bacteria, so you have more trouble digesting food. It has a possible link to autism, and it is linked to cancer and other illnesses, and it damages cellular DNA. Well, if it damages cellular DNA, that means that the RNA that the body is using to perform, that the cell is using to perform its function, no longer works.
Right.
So you have a dysfunction of your cellular functions. And apparently old people are more likely to get problems from glyphosate. If you ingest 85 milliliters, now what's a milliliter? Well, a liter is about the size of a quart. So a milliliter is 1/100th of that. And 1/100th of that is, and 85 of those 1/100ths is likely to cause significant toxicity in adults. It's a pretty small amount. Significant toxicity. Toxicity means death.
Wow.
You can have gastrointestinal corrosive effects with the mouth, throat, and acid reflux, and I have acid reflux, you can get problems with your kidneys, and you have reduced organ performance as a result. You can get respiratory distress, impaired consciousness, pulmonary edema. Now, you remember that pulmonary edema is when your lungs fill up with fluid. You get shock, arrhythmias. I don't know how many of you live with arrhythmias, but I have on occasion.
Yeah.
Renal failure, which means when your kidneys fail. Metabolic acidosis, instead of your body being at the right pH, it becomes acidic, and you need to be alkaline. I believe that's right.
Right.
And severe skin burn. Now, if it goes on your skin, you can get severe skin burns, but we're not talking about it being on your skin unless you're a farmer. And inhalation. Now, there was a time when I lived across the road from a man that had an almond orchard. And in the spring, he would go out there and he would spray it. He would spray a mist to get rid of the insects, I guess. And I tell you, it was scary. Now, how can you know when you are exposed to glyphosate? You get a discomfort in your mouth or nose, an unpleasant taste in the mouth, and throat irritation.
Interesting. Yeah, you know... this is a process I call eco-omnicide. I mean, the toxic pollution, pesticides, genetic, the fact that this glyphosate with a surfactant, that's a explosive finding. Amazing.
It's a genetic genocide.
Yeah.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
But I believe the world is
come back and there's one area that we didn't talk about. And after the show, we'll do a video capture and talk about some of the stuff. But Department IT Technician Brian Pagliato, it's funny. I love the caption you have below. It says, "Hello, I was the technician for Hillary Clinton's email server. My name is Brian Pagliano, but Bill and Hillary just call me Glitch."
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, well, the fact that Cheryl Mills and others were given immunity by the FBI guaranteed that they weren't going to get a prosecution of Hillary. This is criminal activity on the part of the FBI. There needs to be a cleaning of house at the FBI. This is bad.
Well, it has to do with his right, the Fifth Amendment right, to not say that he's guilty, not to
Even when they did that, and they were giving data that wouldn't have implicated themselves, which is Fifth Amendment, there's things that would have implicated Hillary or the whole team, and there's enough information that's come out from other sources that these people didn't give high-quality information even after they got their immunity. So in other words, they weren't just protecting their own butts, which the Fifth Amendment covers, they were protecting Hillary Clinton, and this was a political action on the part of these people because they themselves weren't going to be prosecuted, but they didn't provide high-quality information, which they could have. And
you have to understand that they're looking at a death sentence from Hillary. How many people have died since she's been in
Actually,
power?
I've changed her name from Hillary to Killary. How's that?
Yes. I mean, from the time that she got to Washington, there's been one person die after another that's been implicated in her personal affairs. And I think this guy is smart. And I think the other IT people were smart, too, because they know they've got a death sentence if they say anything.
I think they need to get a backbone. For example, do you think I'm worried about criticizing Hillary or talking about her medical issues? I've got over 3,000 hits just in the last 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks, just on the medical issues. And I'm going to do another video with another upgrade because I have a background in the neuromotor disorders like Parkinson's disease and the end stage, which she has, and the other issues that she's going on, oculogyric crisis, etc. I'm not afraid of Hillary. In fact, I'm not afraid of any of these people. Bring it on is my attitude. And in fact, if these people had a backbone, this kind of corruption wouldn't go on in the district of criminals. This is the problem. The problem is gutless people that won't file lawsuits in the states against voter fraud and these electronic voting machines. People within the government that actually know better and should be standing up for the Constitution and as fellow Americans, when they know they're not even going to be personally prosecuted, they just have to tell the truth. Because if you've got an entire army of people telling the truth, Hillary's disarmed. She's probably taken out of the picture. And by the way, I don't think she's going to survive even the next, less than 2 months to even get to Election Day. I don't think she can campaign. They're going to put a body double in there, probably maybe even for the debate. But even if they do, Trump is still going to win. I mean, this guy's a master media person. What do they think is going to happen? So,
Oh, yeah, he's been training for this.
Yeah, the idea that they can even put a body double with an earpiece and they're going to be able to defeat Trump is ridiculous. I would not want to debate Trump, and I'm pretty smart, because I can tell you with his media experience, his quick thinking, the fact that he doesn't drink or take drugs, his brain is still working at 70. So the idea that they're going to defeat Trump based on his record or the fact he's unfit for it or he has a wrong temperament, as long as he doesn't counterpunch or disabuse her as a woman, he's going to win. And it doesn't matter if they put a body double in there. And we'll do a show update after the show today, about an hour and 15, an hour and a half from now. Be ready, and we'll go over a lot more details because we have a lot of stuff on your Twiland.info to update. Coming up in just a minute, we have the host with the most, Michelle Deagle, my wife. She'll be here to ask questions in the firing line. I'm in the batter cage on health and wellness and spiritual issues. Coming up in just a minute with the firing line in, I guess, 2 minutes. Thank you, Ann. We'll see you in about an hour and a half.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.